We hear Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was in Mayapur engaged in what we call Nirjan Bhajan, chanting 3 lakhs of Krishna Nam daily and going on with his internal culture of Krishna consciousness. So there's Bhajananandi, Gosthyananandi. Guru Maharaj reminds us that Bhajan proper is direct service to Krishna. We do not conceive of the Guru Varga, in this case, the Babaji, Gorkishore Das Babaji, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhagavat Das Babaji, etc., that they are practitioners, as neophytes or intermediate devotees are practitioners, that they're engaged in some spiritual practices to elevate themselves to a higher position. But rather, we conceive of them that they've descended from the upper world into this plane, and that their case Guru Maharaj gives, we hear Rupa Goswami worships Govindaji, Sanatana Goswami Madan Mohan. He said, but this is not Archan as we conceive of it conventionally. Rather, it is Bhajan, direct service. So these exalted souls, they're directly serving in the upper world. Their Krishna Nam is substantial. If we want to understand what Krishna Nam proper is, Shuddha Nam, then we read the Sharanagati of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where there are extraordinary descriptions of the Nam, Rup, Guna, Leela of Krishna, that through sound culture, the form of Krishna, the Rupa of Krishna, comes out of the holy name, exhibits particular attractive qualities, and then takes the aspiring servitor into the plane of seva. So when we hear of the Bhangshi Das Babaji, Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji, they're of that type. We should not conceive they're merely sitting, chanting japa all day, right, trying to elevate themselves to a higher position, as the Prakrita Sahajiyas are wont to do. But rather, their Shuddha Nam is direct service in the upper world. So Srila Saraswati Thakur, he is of that type. Right? We take it that he descended into this plane to distribute something. This is the Gosthyananandi. This is why we favor the Gosthyananandi, because such a devotee is more accessible to us. In the case of Bhangshi Das Babaji Maharaj, we hear from Srila Guru Maharaj that he's sometimes seen smoking or offering tea to Gaur Nitai, sometimes scattering fish scales outside of his ashram. Why? To, as a filter for the insincere. They'll think, oh, this man is bogus. As we would think, oh, he's not substantial. Right? But Saraswati Thakur, while denouncing those Babajis of Vrindavan who are imitating the Mahabhagavatas, the Guru Varga, he dismissed them all as being insubstantial. He revered Bhangshi Das Babaji and told his followers that if you cannot observe him without developing an offensive mentality, then it will be better for you not to go. Srila Guru Maharaj could observe him and maintain the faithful position. And he recounts observing him in different ways, that and absorbed in the upper world, once chastising everyone, saying that Rupa Manjari is moving and service necessity in the plane of Vrindavan, and you're all sitting here doing nothing. So normally we would dismiss such a person as a poser, an imitator, but Saraswati Thakur weren't. No, he is a genuine Ragamarg Bhakta and told all his followers to revere him. Say, while dismissing the Sahajiya Babaji practitioners of Vrindavan, who are taking 3 lakhs of Krishna Nam, reading the works of the Goswamis, exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, when Srila Saraswati Thakur completed the Brajamandal Parikrama of Vrindavan. Right? He toured the whole of Vrindavan. He smashed his palm to his forehead and said, "Oh, I'm so unfortunate. I just toured the whole of Vrindavan and I couldn't find a single Vaishnav." So the devotees were shocked and astounded to hear that. They thought, as people will say in general, "No, everyone in Vrindavan is a devotee of Krishna." Now our Guru Maharaj is saying he couldn't find a devotee of Krishna. In the place where everyone's a devotee of Krishna, he says, "I couldn't find one." What does that mean? Guru Maharaj himself was startled, surprised to hear this, him express such a thing. Some of the disciples, they thought, "Well, what about the person in Vrindavan who is revered amongst everyone as being on the highest level?" So they submitted his name. His response, according to Guru Maharaj, he's an infant class Vaishnav of the lowest order, whom everyone thinks is of the highest order. He's telling, he's of the lowest order. Again, this was perplexing. Right? And so Guru Maharaj, he observed that person and saw that he's always taking Krishna Nam, hearing the works of the Goswamis, exhibiting ecstatic symptoms, but in a fashion, a type of show, as Rupa Goswami warned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, to beware of those who are sentimental by nature. They will cry for anything and everything, including apparently Krishna conscious. Rupa Goswami's warning, no substance to be found there. It's imitation, or it's sentiment. And the second class is saying those who are expert at acting, simulating, like I like to call it the Stanislavski method. Stanislavski, the famous Russian acting guru, would train his students in what they call the method, right? By remembering certain things, you know, sense memory and other things, you can invoke at will emotions. And he says, so much so, if you imitate the behavior of that character, they're walking, they're gesturing, and so many other things, that an epiphany-like transformation will come and you will have become that character. So some Sahajiya scholar, he wrote a book saying, acting is a way of salvation. That he observed, maybe innocently or otherwise, he's saying, oh, what these Sahajiyas are doing, it's like that Stanislavski method. They believe that by imitating the walking, gestures, the dress, etc., that one day you'll become that person. So even a scholar could observe that, make that sort of a comparison. So Srila Guru Maharaj, he observed this person, and then he recalled the ecstatic symptoms of Mahaprabhu. As we hear, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he examines Mahaprabhu. When the temple guards think that he's a bhavuk, or a sentimental person, they're going to drag, because he's crying before Jagannath, Ganga-like streams of tears are coming out of his eyes. He faints before the deities. They think, it's some sentimental person. They're going to drag him and like throw him out of the temple. And Sarvabhauma, no. I am acquainted with what is called Asta Sattvika Vikar, 8 different types of ecstatic symptoms. And I believe here, this is extraordinary. I've never seen this. I've only read about it in the scriptures, but this, it seems that he's exhibiting such symptoms. So he conducts some tests, they carry Mahaprabhu respectfully in procession to his house, and he concludes. He didn't fully observe who Mahaprabhu is. He thought he's some exalted personality who's exhibiting these ecstatic symptoms. But if we read carefully and closely in books like Chaitanya Bhagavat and elsewhere, whether it's Pundarik Vidyaniti Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan Das Thakur will say, when they enter these divine states, he will say, for 9 hours. When Mahaprabhu is found by Sarup Damodar and the others in the ocean in Puri, we're told, this means 9 hours, the whole night, in a state that appears to be like death. That's why this would give great sorrow to the hearts of the devotees. Because as Mahaprabhu himself says, echoing the sentiments of Srimati Radharani, na prema gandasti dharapi mehoro, and Krishna prem jambu nadahim. He says, Krishna prem adharai nahiloi. It's not a thing of this world. So they're thinking, if Mahaprabhu is going to go in this deep state of Krishna prem, he'll leave this world, he'll never return. So the devotees have very mixed feelings about these things. And we're told Mahaprabhu will control himself in the daytime. That's why he stays far away from the deity, by the Garuda Stambam, to try and maintain his composure. We're told at night, he's unable to maintain his composure. And in the Gambhir, his private bhajan chamber, the devotees hear extraordinary, pitiful sounds of the depths of Radha Bhav and the ecstasy of Mahaprabhu is experiencing there. Still, it says 9 hours, and then what is it? 3 states: his totally internal condition, half external, half internal, and external. And by external here, doesn't mean external consciousness as we conceive, mundane consciousness, but rather some awareness of the external world. That's what it's saying. So the transition from the internal state to the external state is very gradual and takes place over a long period of time on account of the depth of internal penetration. So Guru Maharaj is observing this man. It's like a show. They say, foam's coming out of it, like this. There's a man on this side, man on the side. One guy wiping foam this way, wiping foam the other way. Hairs standing on it. It's like a show. Then he goes into some deep state. Then the next minute, inquiring about lunch or something else. And Guru Maharaj said, it's too abrupt, the transition. If the depth of ecstatic, of ecstasy was so great and real, you could not transition from that state to external consciousness so easily. So that's one thing he marked. Another was, Rupa Goswami says, Bhav Ankur, when the Bhakti Lata Beej has blossomed to Bhava Bhakti, the preliminary stage that just adjacent to Krishna Prem. One of the, there are maybe 9, 10 listed there. One is manshunyata, a total absence of ego. Why? Guru Maharaj gives a very clear answer. It's not just like you sit around and practice like controlling your ego and not getting angry or offended or not like that. It's never like that. It's never that inverse. By doing certain things in the objective world, you will achieve the subjective plane. It can never be that. Beginning, middle, and end, it's the culture of faith. And Parandrishva Nivartate, Russo Varjam Russo Pyasya. So, but it's always by it coming in adhoksaja, coming in contact with the super subjective world and the super super subjective world, the Aprakriti Lila of Krishna, that will suppress mundane sensuality and sensory function. So, what was I saying? That, oh, manshunyata. So, that Babaji was there and Guru Maharaj saw, observing him, that some news came that another Babaji has just celebrated his 50th year in Vrindavan. Getting this news, his ego, oh, was the way, what I was going to say is, to finish that point, Guru Maharaj said, why are they manshunyata? Because they don't see anything of value in this world, including the opinions of the people who live here. As Saraswati Thakur writes in his Vaishnava K song, Tumi Kishe Kevala Koitava, where he says, Vaishnavi Pratishta Tate Koro Nishta. Our only concern is what are the opinions of those in the upper world, not the opinions of the people of this world. So Guru Maharaj says the reason they are manshunyata is they see no value in anything here. Their only value is in the upper world. So if someone from this plane insults them or offends them in some way, it's meaningless to them. As we see in the case of Rupa Goswami and others. It was not meaningless to Jiva Goswami or Saraswati Thakur, Sri Jiva Tejastiti. He can't tolerate that the Guru Varga will be offended. But Rupa Goswami, he's tolerating so many others, as far as themselves are concerned. It's of no value. So when this Babaji heard the other one, he spent his 50th year here, it would be a cause for congratulations or some sort of appreciation. Guru Maharaj said, rather, he thought, but he was a householder. He tried to, you know, when you say in modern slang, throw shade on the other Babaji. He was a householder. And, you know, I've been a brahmachari my whole life. So, one-upsmanship. So Guru Maharaj thought, the too easy transitioning from the ecstatic conditions, the presence of ego, not manshunyata, and on top of all, when he would come out of this divine state, he delivered an upasiddhantic mantra, Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Hare Krishna Hare Ram. The import being that Nitai Gaur Radhe, that Nitai is Radhe, utter upasiddhantic nonsense. So Guru Maharaj is saying, if this is what he came out with from that plane, what plane was he in? You know, where did he dive deep into if this is what he came back with? So anyway, so many, this is, you see how Guru Maharaj analyzes things and observes things. And he said, each time I would observe him, in my mind's eye, I would look to my Guru Maharaj and remember what he said. Observe him, look to my Guru Maharaj, my mind's eye, what did he say? And he said, I came to this conclusion. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Saraswati Thakur, they are not practitioners trying to go higher to ascend, even if sincerely and in a pure way. He said, that's not their position. Rather, they descended from that plane into this world to distribute something. And that's his assessment of the wealth of Bhaktivinod Thakur, Sri Radha Parasevanamritamaho Taddatami Shobhavan, Bhaktivinod Thakur's gift to the world. Still, just think of it, Bhaktivinod Thakur has this inconceivable, immeasurable treasure of Krishna consciousness, of the highest order. He's brought down to the world, but needs an agent for distribution. Right? So Guru Maharaj is given in his pranam, Guru Dham, Granthadham, Gauranamadham, namadam buna bhakti dam buridam bande bhakti vinodadam tada. So in addition to everything else he gave, gurudam, he also gave guru, the distributing agent, as we were telling the other day, the sacharjam mam, my potency, the function by which I distribute myself. So he gave Saraswati Thakur to do that. But we know what we hear of Saraswati Thakur, he's a reclusive Vaishnava by nature. Sometimes couching Krishna consciousness in almost impenetrable language, but for a reason. Once some devotee said innocently to Guru Maharaj, oh, I find Bhaktivinoda Thakur easier to read than Saraswati Thakur, or, you know, like that, like, you know, it's easier for me or something. Guru Maharaj said, that I can understand that. He said, and also easily misunderstood. He said, whereas our Guru Maharaj, the way he presented this, you cannot misunderstand it. Maybe you can't totally understand it, but once you do, it cannot be misinterpreted. You cannot misinterpret Saraswati Thakur's pronouncements. And that's why even Guru Maharaj, who favored Nirjan Bhajan, said, no, but Vilasatu Hridi Nityam Bhakti Siddhantavani, my Guru Maharaj's voice beating in my heart, I cannot forget that. I cannot ignore that. And to this day, 150 years later practically, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur cannot be ignored. When there's any dispute, this way, that way, he's always the central. So it's always him. It's interesting. Even the opponents, it's Saraswati Thakur. They know you have to deal with him. And you can't get by him because it's irrevocably stated clearly what his positions are about all these things. So when he says, infant class Vaishnava, and then Guru Maharaj realized, yes, oh, Bhaktivinoda taught, what he means is, he's not trying to offend everyone in Vrindavan. It would be brash and offensive for any one of us. Oh, I just went to Vrindavan and I couldn't find... To imitate a Mahabhagavata will degrade us. But that he said that makes it meaningful. So, and Guru Maharaj is saying, what he means is to explain this, how he can make such a seemingly outrageous statement is the quality of devotee that he's used to, that world where he lives, right, that type of person I don't find here. Yes, there are people of varying levels of connection with Krishna conception and their ongoing spiritual journey. We wish everyone well. But he's saying, this quality, I don't find. That's what he means. Oh, I couldn't find. That's who I'm looking for. And that I couldn't find. But so there are so many Paramahansa posers in Bengal, Vrindavan. It's ironic that Vrindavan, for example, highest of holy places, but most dangerous at the same time because there is so much counterfeit representation. Just so you know, counterfeit money is not only of no value, it's also criminal to possess it, right? It's punishable. So anyway, so there are so many of these bogus paramahansas, as Gurudev said once. It won't be the first time we found out that a paramahansa was a goose. You understand goose? Paramahansa is swan. All right, you know. There's some similarity. Sometimes in the absence of a swan, they go, oh, there, you know, but it's like Gurudev would call the geese and Govindakun, Raja Hansas, and but he'd always say this with a little bit of like a grin, you know, because if you've ever seen a real swan, like we've seen them in Italy and Switzerland places, saw with Krishna Kantumin, they're massive and they're beautiful. It's so clear what a real swan is when you see one. But in the absence of a swan, you see a goose with white, you know, not if you see an actual swan. So that's what we're saying. So in Bengal, there were so many And even one scholarly lady at American University, she did a study on all of them, and she'll present things like, well, this one, some people say is totally bogus, some people believe in him, and then describe or something. But in her book, and she's trying to be objective as possible, she says, but there was this one saint, interestingly, who everyone, no one denies his Paramahansa stage. There are no counter narrations to who he is. And his name is Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. She like stumbled upon this truth. Everyone else, she's saying, well, there's some people who say yes, some people who say yes. And she goes, well, there's this one saint, very interesting, that no one denies that he's a Paramahansa. His name is Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and tells some Babaji Maharaj Leela. So at the time, Srila Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj was Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushan, manager of the Gaudiya Math, co-founder, etc. He was with some friends in Kolkata, and knowing there's so many bogus Paramahansas, one of his friends said, do you want to meet a real one? And he said, come on, you know, we're wasting our time. No, no, there's a real one, as the lady scholar said, and his name is Gaurkishore Das Babaji, and he lives in Navadvip, and I want to take you to meet the real thing. So very excited, he had faith in his friend's recommendation, so he became very excited. We're going to meet a genuine Paramahansa. So with great anticipation and eagerness, they made the journey from Calcutta to Navadvip. And as fate would have it, the divine pastimes of the Lord, that was the day of the disappearance of Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So when they arrive, there's this controversy, what to do. Some people thought this, that. Some people, they wanted to, it's hard to think of these things, but they wanted to take charge of that body, thinking, if we have the samadhi, we have income. I mean, unfortunately, these things are there. So there's some dispute about what to do with the divine form of Paramahansa Thakur Om Vishnupad Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. But word is gone to Saraswat that he has, they're saying, well, is there some disciple who can represent him? Say, well, there's one disciple he has in Mayapur. So we hear, and there are various stories how they connect, but that Tirtha Maharaj, he and his friend, they're sent to go find that disciple. He's already heard the news somehow. As the boats are crossing in the Jalangi, they meet. But Saraswati Thakur says later, I saw him as Babaji Maharaj, a vaibhav, an extension of his own guru, coming. Because Saraswati Thakur is hesitating to come out of his internal condition and because that Mahabhagavata, to deal with us, will have to descend to the Madhyam level. That's why Srila Guru Maharaj says the position of guru is enacted from the Madhyam Adhikari position, the intermediate position. The Mahabhagavata is, for the most part, inaccessible. How to interact with them, and everything's perfectly adjusted for them. So there's no necessity to preach. They see that everything is perfect arrangement of Krishna. Everyone and everything is directly, indirectly going to Krishna. What needs adjustment? So that person, there's no necessity to preach. You understand? And they can see the swaroop of people. They see so many things. So we need the Mahabharata to descend to the intermediate position where they will distinguish, hey, that is not good for you. Don't keep going in that direction. You should be moving in this direction. They may sometimes chastise. They will instruct. They will do so many things. So Saraswati Thakur is hesitating to come to that position. when before Bhaktivinoda Thakur left the world, he turned over the seva, wanted to turn over the seva of the deities in Mayapur to Saraswati Thakur, and Saraswati Thakur was reluctant. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur teased him. Guru Maharaj said, "Oh, you have become a Visheshvadi? You know, like the Mayavadis that, Nirguna, the Guna world is just, you know, it's Sattva Gun, we're Nirguna Atita, beyond that." And he said, "You mean worship of the deity is too much trouble for you?" He was like teasing to, what's the word? Not coerce is another word, but anyway, it means to encourage someone to take up something. So Saraswati Thakur, understanding the heart and desires and wishes of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, took up that seva modestly, humbly. Anyway, he's living there in relative seclusion still. Here, Srila Keshava Maharaj's sister would bring some prasadam every day, and still he's Bhimala Prasad, brahmachari, and he hasn't really begun the activities of Gaudiya Math in earnest. But then he sees this vision. It's his future disciple, but he's seeing as guru, because that's why he called everyone Prabhu. The word Prabhu is actually reserved for guru. So some people object to Saraswati Thakur's calling his disciples Prabhu. But what it does is it gives us some insight. He sees his disciples as vaibhav, or extensions of his own guru. So he's calling Prabhu and saying, "Dashosmi, I'm your servant." And Guru Maharaj often says that the position of the guru is to serve the disciple by cleansing them through shiksha, instruction, seva opportunities, so many things. He said in that sense, they're the servant of the disciple, although they appear to be in the master position. So anyway, he connects with Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj and sees in him that here has come a qualified person to get me an audience. Tirtha Maharaj immediately assesses the situation. It's similar to what Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj said once in Mayapur, there in, you know, it was all rice fields, the land that was bought. And Prabhupada said, "I would be happy living in a hut here in Mayapur, but no one would come and see me." He said, "But if we make a big place and have air-conditioned buses that go from Calcutta to and that's the situation, then so many people will come." That's the Vishayarange of Pujala Ragapat Gauravabange Matala Sarujana Vishayarange. The bait that's being used to bring people in connection. And that really stems from Saraswati Thakur. So in Tirtha Maharaj, he got a qualified person who assessed immediately, "We need to go to Calcutta. For your mission to be a success, I need to take you to Calcutta. And I need to create a forum where the upper echelons of society can come and hear you." And that's what Saraswati Thakur wanted. He wanted an audience. Sometimes devotees questioned Tirtha Maharaj's way, Kunja Babu at the time, his ways of doing things, and wanted to lodge complaints against him, the Saraswati Thakur. They even enlisted Guru Maharaj to do that once, because they realized Saraswati Thakur is not going to take us seriously, but if we get Sridhar Maharaj to present it, then he'll listen. And when Guru Maharaj did, Saraswati Thakur was like, he said, "I could expect this from them, but not from you." And Guru Maharaj was like, "Oh, what have I done?" And Saraswati Thakur said many things. He said, "If there's some financial loss, I'm prepared to throw water in the Ganga if it's necessary for the service of Krishna." That was one statement. Also, a little enraged and furious, he said, "All of you can go. I only need him." Which means he was not looking for bead counters or bell ringers, this kind of thing. He wanted preachers. He wanted an audience for himself, and he wanted an army of preachers, not people just worried about their own spiritual practices. That, as Guru Maharaj said, one man feeds himself, another man feeds 100 people and himself. The preacher is that person. By feeding others, he's becoming nourished, they're becoming. It's like Jesus and the loaves of fishes. I mean, that's what preaching is. You know, you give out what you've got and 5,000 people benefit from it, and then you find you're full, right? And new things are coming to you. Saraswati Thakur wanted to make one man after another like that, right? Because when we love so much Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj and his beloved of Guru Maharaj, Gurudev, and Armat and everything, but not to be imitated, but at one, Babaji Maharaj, we know, is like mad after Krishnanam, right? His mouth, I've seen personally, you know, his mouth was in perpetual motion, just always, you know, like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like always, not just when taking on the japa mala, but once, sometimes he would become overwhelmed and want to go in seclusion and only take Krishnanam. So once he was doing that, and Guru Maharaj was the Mat commander, Mat in charge of the Delhi Mat. And Guru Maharaj is saying, well, he's a good friend of mine. I could really use his help in the service here of the Delhi Mat. But he's taking a lack of Krishnanam every day in the jungle of Baliati. Right? So Guru Maharaj is thinking, would I be interrupted? Is that... maybe Guru Maharaj considers that higher seva, and if I'd be taking him away from that by inviting him to help me serve in the Delhi Mat. So he wrote Saraswati Thakur a letter, and Saraswati Thakur wrote back saying, if you invite him to assist you in the service of the Delhi Mat, you'll be his real friend. He said, because I don't recognize that chanting 64 rounds in seclusion is Krishnanushilana Sangha. And it's favorable to the culture of Krishna consciousness, right? And people say, yeah, but, you know, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Mahaprabhu says, I won't accept an offering from the hand of someone who's not a lakpati. Guru Maharaj said, it says ekalakanam means a particular quality of Krishnanam, not merely a quantity. It's quality. And when quality is there, automatically the quantity will increase. So anyway, he told Guru Maharaj that if you will invite him there for seva, you'll be doing him a real, you'll be his real friend. So anyway, Srila Tirtha Maharaj, he, Saraswati Thakur, what did he refer to him as? Prabhupada Preshta, the one who's most dear to Prabhupada, the one whose service to Prabhupada, Saraswati Thakur, excelled, exceeded that of all others. He, in his final days, said he'll manage the Mat for life. And he was responsible. You see these great pictures of meetings of Saraswati Thakur with the governor of Bengal and so many British officials and other highly placed people. So that Lord Jetland, when he observed the type of preaching activities of Saraswati Thakur and his devotees, he said, it reminds me of Jesus and the 12 apostles. That's how he saw him. Saraswati Thakur being Jesus and this group of sannyasis, like the 12 apostles. So Tirtha Maharaj, he arranged so much of the preaching of the Gaudiya Mat and the book printing, the emphasis on book distribution, built so many mats and temples, and did unparalleled seva. Right? So his glories are unlimited, and Saraswati Thakur referred to him as the co-founder of Gaudiya Mat. So, Hare Krishna Jai Srila Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, it's Tirubhav Abhirbhav, Tirubhav Mahamahutavatiti Ki Jai. Any other question? Yeah.
I heard once you said that you went to study literature so you could beat the enemy with his own weapon.
Yeah.
To preach his example.
Yes. So
when you read or when you listen to the music, is it automatically that you get like connection with Krishna consciousness and you can see which parts you can use for preaching or how you go?
No, I would say this, that our education took place largely at the lotus feet of our Guru Varga. And with Srila Guru Maharaj in particular, he introduced us to Hegel, Berkeley, then poets, Shelley, Wordsworth, Longfellow, who is it? Robert Burns, so many. The French Martineau. And so Mahayogi, who we were just with in Ukraine and Russia, we were recalling how when we're making books for Srila Guru Maharaj, that when he would say something, if he says, Hegel says this, right, self-determination, or reality is for itself by itself, or some Hegelian expression, we published his books. It's our duty as the editors and publishers to verify what he's saying. As Guru Maharaj said, when Saraswati Thakur dictated something that was not in proper English, and one devotee said, when someone said, you know what Prabhupada said, it needs to be, he said, no, then let the dictionaries and the grammars be changed, but what Prabhupada said is perfect. Many devotees went, yeah, that's the mood, that's the spirit. But Guru Maharaj said, 1 minute. He said, then a higher devotee came. Guru Maharaj is saying, that's the third class position. He said, then the higher devotee in the intermediate level can say, no, we're presenting Guru Maharaj to the public. If we don't get this right, the public will blame him. They will find fault with him. And that fault will not be with him, it will be with us. So it's our job, our seva, to, if something is a little off grammatically or language-wise, to fix that, if we have the skills to do that. Or if sometimes we misspeak, something can be misspoken. There are many things to consider. So as we were preparing to begin the publishing of the Guardian of Devotion Press, Sripad Bhaktivedanta Mahayogi and myself, we realized we need to verify these things before we publish them and send it out to the public. So, and he's a very scholarly person too. And so I said, we're next to a big university. And I said, go to the library, get some books on Hegel. Let's find the original source. So it's kind of humorous because he comes back with like this 1,000-page book, The Phenomenology of Mind, where it's sometimes called the phenomenology of spirit. It's translated different ways. And so I go back, I go, did you find it? And he's going like, oh my, it's like,
it's
like, you know, like.
Electronic version, it's way easier.
Yeah, but I'm.
1982, 81.
Right, this is 1981, right? So we've got a book, we're reading the phenomena, like looking for, you know, like. You know, oh my God. You're right. Now you could find it very quickly. But we did find it. That's the point. We, you know, but by perusing, just like going through and like, aha, reality is for itself and by itself. Got it. You know, self-determination, synthesis, you know, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, these Hegelian expressions. So we verified them. But then, and also, if Guru Maharaj, he liked to quote Thomas Gray, the boast of heraldry, the pomp of power, all that beauty, all that wealth e'er gave, awaits alike the inevitable hour, the paths of glory lead but to the grave. That, and another one about jewels, unseen jewels in the bottom of the ocean from Gray's elegy, these two verses Guru Maharaj liked a lot. Oh, and Coleridge as well. So we saw Guru Maharaj, he's the person who, when he was educated in British schools, remember, he's practically like a Shrutadhar. He remembers all the professor's teachings. And what he found was appealing and where it could, if it had some spiritual quality to it, where it could be measured against in Vaishnava culture. That's what he could do. So he could see, oh, what Hegel's saying here is very good. It parallels certain things. So he was extracting those things for us. And we found we don't need to read 1,000 pages of Hegel to get this. Guru Maharaj is a very reliable student when he was studying and extractor, and he extracted these things. So that's mainly how we got exposed to these things. But then we would also, and English poets, but then we would see ourselves, something would become popular or be in the public mind, and we'd see, does this have some substance to it or not? So no one should think I'm advising that someone make an exhaustive study of mundane literature and try and extract spiritual things from there. It's not advisable. Most likely, the end result will just be bewilderment. But we found, as out of necessity, service necessity, that we look through certain writers. They themselves say that what they've given is the best of what is thought and expressed. So then we would say, okay, give us your best thoughts that have been expressed in the best way, and we'll see where they measure up against Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And I'll just give you one similar example in the line of Guru Maharaj's extraction method. There's a famous poem called Litany in a Time of Plague by Thomas Nash. And it says, brightness falls from the air, queens have died both young and fair. Oh, beauty is but a flower, wrinkles will devour. Brightness falls from the air, queens have died both young and fair. So this is something that very easily echoes the sentiments of Gaudiya Siddhanta about the temporary nature of the world, life, etc., like that. Where I had a recent conversation with someone about the Chekhov story I tell, where the girl tells the character to meet him in the graveyard at midnight. Right? And then there's a little section about mortality. Right? So it's very hard to find. That's why they wrote, and they said, how can I find this? It's hard to find because the title of it is Ionich. Right? It's not like meet me at the graveyard. Yeah, right. So that's the story. But so should we now read all the Chekhov stories and see what we can find? I don't advise that. This one happened to come my way. I looked at it and said, oh, this is valuable. I spend time preaching in Russia. So I thought, if I know, and I happen to know a little bit of Chekhov, a little bit of Dostoevsky, a little bit of Tolstoy, like that, then I can show, oh, see what Dostoevsky said here? There's some parallel to that in Gaudiya line. That's all. It's, as I told before, and analyzing the word pontiff, pontifical position of Madhavendra Puri means pontiff, bridge, like a pontoon, a bridge from one thing to another. So, Gurudev will say, Jiva Goswami, out of a necessity of his service, he went and studied Sanskrit in Benares. It's kind of inconceivable, but he did. Not Rupa, not Sanatan, not Raghunath. Look at Raghunath Das's Sanskrit. It will blow your mind. He didn't go and study. Sanatan, Rupa, they didn't go and study. But we're told Jiva did. Why? But then you look at the writings of Jiva Goswami. He has to deal, his seva is to deal with these scholars. So sometimes we have scholarly devotees. It's their service necessity to acquaint themselves with certain things. But that said, they have to be very cautious. Because Guru Maharaj tells us, Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns, the madhyam adhikari position, meaning in this context, being analytical, weighing and measuring things, he says is a dangerous one. You can also go out of balance, off track, become polluted. Right? So that type of seva is in our mission. We coordinate that. We have scholarly devotees. Avadhut Maharaj knows who they are. They get these assignments that no one should misconstrue that we're advising the devotees in general to read mundane literature. Mainly, it's reflecting back upon something. You say, oh, in school, we read this and that, and you can see now there's some connection. That's all Guru Maharaj was doing. He's not sitting around reading English poetry, but he remembers, because he has such a good memory. Oh, there was this poem, Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, that we had in class. And he likes this line in there about God loves all creatures, big and small. So like that, and he remembers who is the writer, the author, the few lines from Thomas Gray, the lines from Shelley, the sweetest songs are those that tell the saddest thought. He's already extracted that for us. So unless it's someone's specific seva to deal with some mundane matters and extract something there out of preaching necessity, it's not advisable. It'd be a waste of time and potentially polluting. We've had enough mundane exposure. No shortage of it. And we are bombarded by it. I make this point often about, again, a great writer. Now, Arthur Miller was interviewed because there was a time when in the Victorian England, when poets and writers, they were like, let me say, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. That's a mysterious word. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam. We get the thing about followers, about women, about wealth. But kavit, the kavi is put there. And that's not often described. Guru Maharaj deals with it in the beginning of Prapanna Jivanamritam, saying, I crave what does he say? I'm paraphrasing. I crave the prestige of a poet. Please save me from my practically incurable disease of insincerity. Why Guru Maharaj says that in the beginning is really telling. He's saying, what I'm giving here, let it not be that. I'm not making the Prapanna Jivanamrita so that I'll become famous. They'll say, oh, that's Sridhar Maharaj, he's done so nicely. No, he did it. Why did Guru Maharaj make that book? It was after the the disintegration of the Gaudiya Math. And Guru Maharaj, in a very prayerful, internal mood, seeing what had happened to his guru's organization in the aftermath of his disappearance, he was plagued internally. And he thought, let me study all the great sayings and statements about Sharanagati. I know that Sharanagati is the key. Bhakti Vinod Thakur has indicated that. Let me study, what is Sharanagati? Just, he didn't say, oh, let me go into seclusion and meditate upon the erotic pastimes of Radha Krishna and the Braja Gopis. No. He does an exhaustive study of the scriptures about Sharanagati. What does it mean to surrender, to offer in all its six, you know, to give yourself, to take shelter, to expect the Lord's protection, etc.? That's what he did. And he's saying in the beginning of his book, let this not be the play or exercise of ego, that, oh, I'm writing a book and then I'll be known to be an author and I'll have so much prestige, right? Very beautifully there. But so he said, craving the position of a poet. And we could misunderstand the thing. Poet, like, who wants to be a poet? But what it means is, and I told you, you can understand this from the analysis of Victorian England, the poet laureate. And the poet was kind of the person you went to, the poets. They're the arbiters of reality. They're considered the people who know what reality is, what life should be, what is substantial. And they were artists glorified to the extreme. the kings, the queens, everyone deferred to them. They were the people who interpreted what should be meaningful in our lives. So that's the prestige of the poet, means that person whose opinion is going to be most revered, right? About reality, what is real and substantial. So anyway, why did I mention this? That, what was the point being made? Well, I forget exactly now, but it was about, yeah. About studying, no, it was about studying mundane literature. So I'm saying, Srila Guru Maharaj, he knows that people in the Western world, they're under the influence of these thinkers. So if there's something they expressed in their poetry that has some parallel, however simple it might be, or in Guru Maharaj's level of interpretation, high, like that simple line, our sweetest songs are those that tell the saddest thought. That allows Guru Maharaj to give a whole detailed explanation about separation, viraha bhav, things like that. So it's only for that reason that we sometimes employ these things. That all is to make it accessible to others. And that's, and interestingly, when Guru Maharaj would visit the Mat of Madhava Maharaj, there were some news, say there's like two papers at the time, and they get one at the Mat in Calcutta. Only Guru Maharaj could read the paper, and maybe Gurudev, you know, this is ashram, we don't, in the context of the modern world, the internet, smartphones, it's, you know, we can't imagine that. Can you imagine if here, what if he said, like, only Goswami Maharaj and Avadhut Maharaj can use the internet. Could you accept that? It's unthinkable in the modern world. But at the time, like, I mean, these were, a Mat was a place for sannyasis and brahmacharis. So the paper comes in, they realize that it's like mundane news, information, something like that. Only the leaders get to read it, you know, like senior devotees. Right? So Guru Maharaj would be visiting Madhava Maharaj's Mat, and then while he was there, they'd have to buy another paper. So one devotee complained, like, we're already getting a paper. They go, yeah, but that's not, Sridhar Maharaj, there's another paper he needs to read. So we have to, while he's here, we have to buy two every day. And that devotee was like, I don't understand. You know, like, it's mundane. It's just the news. You know, one paper, this paper, that paper, you know. And beautifully, Madhava Maharaj said, you don't understand. He said, whether Sridhar Maharaj reads the news or the Vedas, it's the same. Like, he, back to the Paramahansa, he can extract that from there. You give him a heap of this stuff, he can pull out of the news something valuable, the noteworthy, bridge building, you know, that will make Vaishnavism more accessible to people like us. But as I say, that should be done very cautiously and rarely. You know, and all of my survey of these things, 3, 4, 5 things I could say I've extracted in the line of Guru Maharaj over a 30-year period that I use. I heard something from science or from literature or from this, and I applied it in a way that I feel internally has Guru Maharaj's approval. Like superconductors of negativity. I'm not going to get into it. That, I know Guru Maharaj would like that. He would appreciate it. Because it's based upon his, it's his interpretation method moving through me. And then I say, maybe 5 things like that in 30 years. And thought about over a long period of time, not whimsically, reading this, that, and the other thing, and then introducing that into the society of devotees. It's mentioned we shouldn't, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, everything Rupa Goswami is saying, we shouldn't unnecessarily dwell on the mundane. But Prabhupada puts in his summary a simple phrase. He says, but Rupa says, there's no prohibition against ordinary news. I mean, you're going to hear a certain amount of it in the world, unless you're not a Paramahansa Babaji, you know, taking Krishna Nam in the upper world. Let's be real. You're going to hear a certain amount of news in the world, but we don't have to obsess with it, overindulge to the point of being counterproductive or dysfunctional. But I was making that point that mostly Guru Maharaj was recalling what he'd learned in school, heard in college. He just had an excellent memory and saw that these things have some value in bridging Gaudiya Siddhanta to people who are unfamiliar with it. That's why I say here, you know, with a smile on my face, if I'm talking sometimes about Achintya Bheda Bhed, I might say, as they say in Thailand, same, same, but different. Right? So same, same, but different means something in Thailand. So I can say, you know how they're same, same, but different? Yeah, well, this is, it's like that. So, you know, still thinking of praise Guru Maharaj gave to others. Bhan Maharaj, one of his specialties was, they said he could give a lecture on Gaudiya Siddhanta only in English without any Sanskrit. And that was very much appreciated by Saraswati Thakur and very useful for the Gaudiya Math to preach to British people. We mentioned Srila Madhava Maharaj. Gurudev said he knew a lot about Islam and could reference that in his bridging that for Muslims and Islam to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Bhaktivedanta Institute was primarily PhDs, scientists, men who already were scientists. So they're already reading academic journals. They do this all the time anyway, by their nature, their inclination, and their qualification. Those are the men Prabhupada gave that assignment to. But I remember one god brother, he was sort of looking for an excuse to be an academic. And I was on this party called Library Party at the time. We were getting so many reviews from Sanskrit scholars all over America, the leading ones, from Columbia University, this school, University of Chicago, Cal Berkeley. Fritz Stahl, you know, who this built the very place we're in right now. Right? So, but this devotee wanted to get Prabhupada to sanction his studying Sanskrit from Fritz Stahl at Cal Berkeley. And he was like trying to get reasons for Prabhupada. Yes. And so he said, Prabhupada, if I become a Sanskrit scholar, then I can review your books and give favorable reviews. And Prabhupada said, I already have so many reviews, like from like the best Sanskrit scholars in America. So, you know, karma kanda is when we really want to do something and we impose it on guru or the higher. We have to catch ourselves when we're doing that and realize, rather, what's coming down to us, I should give my attention to that seva. And not, oh, I have this secret desire, I'd really like to do this, that, or the other thing, and I want to impose that on the upper world, like a child. Like little children do. It's easier to see when a child is doing that. But we do that, and we're cautioned against it. And I heard this nice example where this devotee, and you can understand the quality of Gaudiya Math is so much higher in this sense, that one devotee they thought was very attached to serving in Jagannath Puri. Like they thought, too attached. Too happy, too attached. Like, so they sent the news to him that actually, Prabhu, you're going to be transferred to Mayapur. And when he got the news, he was ecstatic. He was also happy. Then they said, okay, you can stay. We were just testing you. Because a real servitor just wants to serve. So, Professor Sanyal swept the stairs of the Mott, even though he's the head examiner of a university. But after a while, they gave him some seva appropriate to his skill sets, which were he became the writer, publisher, editor of the works of Saraswati Thakur in English. But it's good to see he showed that he thought, connection here is so valuable. If I get a job as a sweeper, my life is fortunate. That shows he had some substantial thinking. Right, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, at the end of Kalyana Kalpataru, I seek the position of a sweeper in the Nam Hutta of Nityananda Prabhu. Then what does Saraswati Thakur say? Not me too. It says, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a sweeper in the Nam Hutta of Nityananda Prabhu, then my desire is to be one of the straws in his broom. Each time, lower. That's amani na manadena. Right? Trinadapi sunichena. It's real, not just a theory. Has to be applied. If you want to say this is Mahaprabhu's theory, we are to apply that and reap the benefit. Kirtiniya sadahari. Hare Krishna.